Since it's our afternoon service, we're getting right to the message then. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, and we're actually going to go all the way to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17, verse 6 will be our text that we're going to focus on this afternoon. The previous three messages from the book of Judges brought out some important principles that we can apply to our own lives today, especially warnings about backsliding and how to prevent it. Instead of continuing through the rest of the book of Judges, chapter by chapter, I want to encourage you to read it for yourself after this final message in the series on this book, but to read it from a new perspective. This final message is more of a summary of the main purpose of the book and to see its connection to the New Testament. The book of Judges describes a period in the life of the nation of Israel between the prophetic leadership of Moses and Joshua and the establishment of the monarchy and kingship in Israel. The nature of this time period is described on four different occasions in the book. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. This is restated in chapter 18, verse 1, chapter 19, verse 1, and chapter 21, verse 25. This brief summary statement teaches us two important facts about the period of the judges of Israel. The first fact is that there was a crisis of leadership. And the second fact was that there was a subsequent crisis in Israel's faithfulness to their covenant with the Lord. The generation of Israelites who lived in the wilderness with Moses and the generation that lived during the time of the conquest of Canaan under Joshua had been eyewitnesses of God's great signs and wonders to save and deliver. But then, as we read in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. In the generations between Joshua and the monarchy, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, Judges 2, verse 11. The evil described in the book of Judges refers to Israel's progressive slide into idolatry. The nation of Israel was originally designed by God to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, as we read in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. But by the end of the book of Judges, Israel had become like all of the other nations around them, and even worse, like Sodom and Gomorrah. You can see this by comparing Judges 19 with Genesis 19. So why would good, godly Christians study or even read a book like Judges, where there is death and slaughter, human sacrifice and betrayal, illicit sex and scandal written all across the pages of this book? The main point is that in the book of Judges, we clearly observe a parallel with today, that life is messy and foul and complicated, and that it is the cycle of our own sin that has created these problems. Because of the startling nature of these narratives, it might seem like the book of Judges lacks a content filter. But this is not true. In John chapter 5, verse 39, we are taught that Jesus is the filter through which we must read the book of Judges when he states, "You diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they," the Old Testament scriptures, "that bear witness about me." That's right. The narratives contained in the book of Judges were written to bear witness or testify to the person and work of Jesus and the great salvation that he's achieved for his people. The unfaithfulness of Israel under the leadership of Judges pointed to the need for a faithful king who would rule the people in righteousness. The most shocking feature in the book of Judges, therefore, is not the horror of the sin of God's people depicted in these narratives, but the glory of salvation from that sin accomplished by the God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant and abounding in loving kindness and truth, as we read in Exodus 34 and verse 6. The terror of sin is outshined only by the glory of God's salvation worked through these judges, who will somehow point us to Jesus Christ. This is how the book of Hebrews teaches us to read the book of Judges. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Where are all of these found? In the book of Judges. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. These judges were commended through their faith, as Hebrews 11, verses 2 and 3 states, and are now part of that great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12, 1, who together call us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12, verse 2. And so we're moved to read this often neglected book of the Bible because it teaches us about God's great salvation in Christ for his people, saving us from our continual inclination to forget him, his promises, and all of the good blessings encountered in following the Lord. I remember reading through the book of Judges and just kind of shaking my head at, oh, what idiots. I don't know, how many of you ever read like that and make those kind of comments? But I was thinking, what idiots these people were. And then thought, am I like that? Do I forget what God has done for me? Do I forget what God has told me to do? And then I'm convicted about that. And then I read a little more soberly the rest of the book of Judges. You know, by the end of the book, like the author himself, we will be looking for the king who is finally able to deliver God's people from sin and corruption, who will give rest to God's people, and who will secure their inheritance. The judges in the book of Judges, like the kings after them, cause us to look forward to the coming of the King of Kings. Together, we'll be looking for that king who does not do what is right in his own eyes, but who delights to do the will of his Father in heaven, as we can read in John chapter 6, verse 38. I think you can see by now that not only the book of Judges, but in fact, the rest of the entire Old Testament points to the need for a faithful king who is finally able to deliver God's people from sin and corruption, who will give rest to God's people, and who will secure their inheritance. What a privilege to know the Lord Jesus, and what a great blessing it is to know that our Lord Jesus Christ is that King of Kings who died on the cross of Calvary to save us from sin and all its corruption and its infinite penalty. Someday he will rule on a literal throne, and we will live in a literal country and know what it means to have that kind of perfect environment that we so long for today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this has been a very short message, but I trust, Lord, that as we've summarized the book of Judges in this, that we realize that it has much to teach us, that we should not just skip this book in our Bible reading. Lord, I pray that we will rejoice in the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, actually did come. He did die on the cross for us. He did give us the power and the cleansing from sin and the power to resist it and the power to say no to it. And that someday we will live in his perfect kingdom that right now we are a part of spiritually, but someday we will be a part of physically in every way. Lord, I pray that as we look at the book of Judges and also the books of Kings and Chronicles, that we'll see that they all point to the fact that we need that perfect king. And we're so thankful that it is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now, Lord, that we would follow our King Jesus every part of our lives, every day of our lives, and bring honor and glory to our wonderful King and our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.